Man, well, it's good to be with you. We came down this afternoon for my brother-in-law's birthday. Marvin Weidrich is Marvin Massacre's brother-in-law. And my poor wife has been surrounded by Marvins her entire life. And, or should I say, my blessed wife. Yes. I want to preach to you for a little bit this evening from Psalm 57. We're doing a series in our church on the Psalms of Comfort, and we're living in strange days, and I don't think there'd be anybody that would be here tonight that would argue that point. And I remember back, Brother McLean was teaching in the college in Simcoe, and I was just a tyke, just... I thought he was old then, but anyway, I have appreciated your pastor for so many years. He's been a faithful preacher of the gospel, and he has encouraged preacher boys, and he has been an influence in my life, and I certainly appreciate that, and we love he and his wife dearly, and we appreciate your faithfulness. Psalm 57. David writing here from the cave says this: "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, in the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." Father, I pray tonight as we come to this time together that you may indeed, through your word, give us something that will encourage us, that will challenge us, that, Father, will sustain us as we approach the unknown in this week to come. There is much going on in the world around us that would cause many to be anxious. And so I pray tonight that we may rest in you, and that we may be able to say with the psalmist, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed." God, keep us in the word, keep us close to yourself, and Lord, I pray that you may indeed be the one that we look to gain the strength and the help that we need in time of trouble. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We are living in some pretty strange days. And I, you know, you don't need me to come here on a Sunday night and tell you that. You know that. The last 2 years have been years that I have never dreamed that we would ever go through. And I told our folks this morning that if they are calling for a seventh or eighth wave, I'm out of here. I'm done. I don't know that I can handle any more waves of COVID. But it's not just a pandemic. I mean, it's everything under the sun. There is uncertainty as far as our economy goes. There is uncertainty as far as our government goes. There is war going on in Ukraine between Russia and Ukraine. And there is the threat of nuclear weapons. And U.S. American military specialists are saying that there is a very real possibility that we are looking at the possibility of World War III. There is a lot going on that causes us anxiety. There's a lot that can cause us to become just a little bit fearful. And I know that all of us say, well, you know, the Bible says that he's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. But in our quiet moments, there are many of us, and I will plead guilty to this, that kind of think, what in the world is coming next? What is going to happen next? And you know what? We heard about it this last week. I don't know if you've watched the news or not, but now they have identified a new rare disease called monkeypox. I have no idea what monkeypox, but if it makes our people in Fort Erie act any differently than they already do, I'm out of there. All right? I love the Psalms, and for a while now, I've been preaching from the Psalms, just different ones, going through the book, and I appreciate so much the heart of the psalmist, because the reality is you can read the Psalms, and you don't find someone that is puffed up and some spiritual giant. You find people that are real. You find people that are struggling with the realities of coping with problems, of going through the valley, of dealing with the difficulties in life. And as we read the Psalms, you can read some that are pretty dark and dismal. And one of our men, I had conversation with him, and he said, I'm not really a big fan of the Psalms because I find them discouraging many times. I said, well, you're not reading enough of the Psalms, because that's where I go to find encouragement more often than not. And even the Psalms that start off dark and dismal often end with the psalmist's tune being changed, so that he is doing an about-face from talking about all of the hardships and difficulties of his life to talking about how good God is and how good he has been to him. I want to share with you tonight four truths that I think are important for us to keep in mind, because oftentimes you and I, like David, will find ourselves in the cave. We'll find ourselves in circumstances that defy explanation. We'll find ourselves in circumstances where we didn't see it coming, we don't want to be in it, and we would give anything to be through it and done with it. But God has a purpose. You know, we think about David, we think of a man that is described in Scripture as being a man after God's own heart. And I think it's important as we look at this psalm tonight that we kind of just go back and review a little bit about what we know about David. David was anointed king at a young age. He was always fearless. He was the young man that defeated Goliath, the giant that defied the armies of Israel. The nation loved David, and they began to sing his praises, and that's part of the problem that led to Saul hating David, was because jealousy crept in, because David was more respected and loved than Saul was. And so Saul sets out to kill David. He turns on him and he sets out to kill him. And as we come to this psalm tonight, David is writing it from a cave. Can you imagine? The man that had been anointed to be king of Israel is hiding in a cave in fear of his life. Now, many believe that this is the cave of Adullam that David is hiding in, and that we read of that in the book of Kings as Saul comes into the cave to rest, and David cuts off the hem of his garment. But David is, at this moment in time, running for his life. I think of how I react many times when I am in that cave of sorts. I think of when the bottom falls out and things aren't going according to plan and the problems begin to mount, I begin to feel sorry for myself. And I know that none of y'all would be like that, because I've heard great things about New Testament. It's filled with spiritual giants. But in Fort Erie, we're a little bit more carnal. And so I tend to get to the point where I start feeling sorry for myself. And I begin to think that I'm the only one going through these circumstances, and nobody understands what I'm going through. And many people would begin to gripe and moan and cry and get upset. Some would call their parents. Some would feel sorry for themselves and hide themselves in a corner and begin to pout. But David doesn't do that. David, the man who is destined for the throne, who should be on the throne as he's been anointed king of Israel, David finds himself in a cave. Not one that he expected to be in, not one that he wanted to be in, but he nonetheless is in a cave. And I would imagine David had some questions for God. I would imagine that David had some real issues that he, when the quietness of his life, began to think through and would want to have some answers to. You know, pastors get asked questions all the time. And some of them make sense and some of them don't. And sometimes we get asked questions by young people as well. And I came across this article that has a list of questions that young people have asked their pastor. One young man wrote, Arnold, by the age of 9, wrote, "Dear Pastor, does God like everybody? If so, he certainly has never met my sister." Robert, age 11, wrote, "Dear Pastor, do you think my father should be a minister? Because every day he gives us a sermon about something." Patty, age 10, said, "Dear Pastor, I'm sorry I can't leave more money in the plate. My dad didn't give me a raise in my allowance. Could you please preach a message on parents raising their children's allowance?" And I suspect that some of you tonight have come to this service with some questions on your heart. Some questions about why you're going through certain things. What is the purpose? What could God possibly be trying to teach you through the valley that you find yourself in? And the reality is, every one of us, at some point or another, are going to be in that valley. I remember years ago, as a young preacher boy, I went to a pastor's meeting, and a pastor got up, and my understanding, now I was young and naive, but my understanding of pastor's meetings was you were supposed to go there and get preached at and encouraged so that you'd go back and do the work. I got to this pastor's meeting, and a pastor got up, and he began to preach about the valley. And he said, "You are either going into the valley, you are either in the valley, or you're about to come up out of the valley and then go back into it." And I thought, this isn't encouraging me. I'm not sensing anything encouraging about this at all. But reality is that all of us find ourselves in the valley by times. We find ourselves in the cave. And I want you to see a few things that David did in this cave that helped him put things into perspective. The first thing David did is in verse 1. And that was that he remembered his God. He remembered who his God was. David says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." Now keep in mind, David's a valiant warrior. He has a great mind. He's a great strategist. But at this moment in time, instead of wallowing in his circumstances, instead of trusting in himself to try and plan his way out of this cave, David shifts his focus to God. And if there's one thing that we have tried over the last 2 years to do is to ensure that our focus is off of all of the craziness that's going on around us. All the things that we can't control, that we let it be and that we focus our attention on Jesus Christ alone. And I think it's important as we look at Psalm 57 because that's exactly what David does. David focuses his attention not on his circumstances, not on the fact that he is hiding for his life from Saul in some dark, dismal cave, but he refocuses his attention and remembers who his God is. You know, pastors are a funny lot. And personally, I have found that on those Sundays when I am tied to my notes, my messages don't quite seem to have the same power and flow, the same effect. And I walk away from those Sundays thinking, oh boy. But then there are other times when the Spirit of God just takes over. And you have a sense of liberty and freedom. And the thoughts are coming. And God is leading. And God is moving. And on those days, it's so exciting to see what God does. We have to tap into Him. Each and every one of us. We have to keep our focus on the God who reigns today. And it's so easy for us to get sidetracked. It's so easy for us to become distracted by the situations around us. Whether it's our finances, whether it's our health, whether it's COVID, whether it's our government, whatever it may be, it's easy to become distracted. But we as the people of God need to keep in mind that God is still God. That He is still on the throne, that He is in control, and He is not surprised by anything that takes place. I think I said 1 Kings earlier, but in 1 Samuel 24, we find the story of David running for his life and Saul coming after him with 3,000 troops. And they have searched through the rocks and the crevices and in the caves. And they've explored many of the caves of the landscape around the area, and they've not found David. And David in 1 Samuel 24 is hiding in this cave when Saul comes in. And Saul comes in and rests for a while, and David's men are urging him to take his revenge on Saul and to take Saul's life. But David says, I cannot raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. And so he cuts off the hem of Saul's garment. David had every opportunity and he had every reason to take out his frustration and his anger and his fear and all of the emotions that he may have been felt at that moment in time. He had every right to take it out on Saul, but he didn't. He did the right thing. And I believe it's because David remembered who his God was. As we have that as background, we come back now to Psalm 57. This psalm is written in that time while David is in that cave hiding from Saul. And David reminds himself in verse 1 of his God. And he cries out to him and says, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. You know, the reality today is if we're going to find our refuge in God and we're going to lean upon Him and trust Him until the calamities be overpassed, that means we're going to have to lean into Him for the rest of our lives. Because I do not believe that what we're experiencing right now is going to get better in any way. I believe it's only going to become worse as we near that day when the Lord calls us home. And so we need to lean upon Him. We need to trust Him. We need to be reminded that my help does not come from the government. It doesn't come from a self-help book. It doesn't come from Joel Osteen. It doesn't come from all of those writers that may try to give you the secret formula. Our help comes from the Lord and from Him alone. So the first thing David does is he remembers his God. And it's good for us to do that periodically. But David also, secondly, remembers his place. In verse 1, he says that he is going to take refuge under the shadow of God's wings until these calamities be overpassed. I think it's interesting to note here that David doesn't suggest for a moment that these problems are here to stay. There's no hint of what David says that he is in this cave long term. There's nothing that he hints at that indicates that he believes he's called to a life of trouble and in turmoil for the remainder of his days. Because he says, until these calamities be overpassed. David knew he wasn't called to the cave to live there, to remain there, but that he was there as part of God's plan for that moment. And it's important, I think, when we find ourselves in the cave, that we remember that the cave is not our destiny. The cave is our university. The cave is where we learn those valuable lessons. The cave is where we learn to lean on God, to trust in Him, to let Him be God, for us to give up the reins. You know, oftentimes we hear the stories of Abraham and Isaac. And many times when we hear the story, we hear of Abraham taking that step to take his son up to the mount to offer him as a sacrifice. And the fact that how difficult it must have been for Abraham to make that decision and do that act of taking his son up there. But I believe personally that Abraham, not for a moment did Abraham believe that he would have to sacrifice his son. I believe that Abraham believed that God would come through at some point in time before he plunged that knife into his son, because God had promised him that he would make of Abraham a great nation. And I believe that Abraham went up that mountain believing that God was going to answer the need and do what only he could do. He just didn't know how it was going to happen. Folks, when you are going through the trials and testings of life and you are suffering, and many times we have people that are going through horrific circumstances. Our church secretary right now, her father is in declining health. Her sister lives in her basement and has stage 4 cancer. And now her brother, who's one of our deacons, he has stage 4 cancer with only a matter of weeks to live. She's going through horrific circumstances right now. So there's a lot of us that face those things. But we need to remind ourselves that God has a purpose in everything that comes into our lives. And we need to recognize and remember our place. And that is to abide under the shadow of His wings. To lean into Him in those moments. I believe that Abraham was determined to trust God. In Genesis 22, verses 1 to 5, I believe that he was determined that he was going to trust God and see how God answered. And I believe that as David writes Psalm 57, as he hides in this cave, that David is in there, but he is in the back of his mind, he's thinking, I wonder how God's going to get me through this. I wonder what he's going to do. I wonder what he's going to accomplish in my life through this circumstance. How about you? How about you when you find yourself in that cave? When you find yourself overwhelmed by the circumstances of life? Overwhelmed by the headlines that you may read in the newspaper? Let me encourage you tonight to determine that though you may not enjoy the time in the cave, that you will pay attention to the teacher and that you will learn the lessons that he teaches you in those moments. The thing that I love about Psalm 57 is verse 7. David writes here, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." We're all human, every one of us. Brother McLean, you're made of spare parts, I know, but you are human. We all are. So we're all prone to those moments of weakness when we're tired and we're overwhelmed and the kids are driving us up the wall and there's not enough money at the end of the month and the car broke down and everything seems to be mounting up and going against us. We're all made of the same stuff, and so we all face the same temptation to say, "Lord, I've had it. I am done. I give up." But that's not what David does, because everything going on in David's life right now isn't fair. I mean, there's nothing happening in his life at this moment in time that is anything like what you may envision taking place in the life of a man who has been anointed to be the next king of Israel. It's not fair. But David doesn't sit in the cave in depression and cry the blues and feel sorry for himself. Instead, in verse 7, he says, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." We live in strange days. We know that. And many times we are tempted to feel that we can get through these times alone. We can get through with just our willpower and our know-how. But the third thing David does is in verse 2. And that is he remembers his weakness. In verse 2 he says, "I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me." David knew that God was the one that did the work. Didn't matter how much David knew. Didn't matter how tempted or how talented he was. It didn't matter who his family was. It didn't matter that he'd been anointed the king of Israel. David knew that God was the one that had brought him to this cave and that God was the one that would bring him out of this cave. Psalm 62, verses 11 and 12 says, "God has spoken once, twice I have heard, that power belongs to the Lord. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy." So we must always remember, at every moment of our lives, in every storm, in every trial, in every testing, we must always remember that God is strong, that he is sufficient, that he knows what's going on, and that he will get us through those times. We must also remember that God is loving. The New Testament says that God is love. He doesn't have love, he is love. And he loves his people. He loves us. Our problem is that we equate the ease of our lives with the love of God. We say, because everything's going great is an indication that God loves me. But sometimes God loves us enough to let us go into the cave, to let us learn the lessons that can only be learned in the cave. You know, if you look back over your life, I'm sure you will find that the times of greatest struggle have also been the times when the Lord has come through in the greatest way in your life. How he has shown himself strong on your behalf. Testings and trials have a way of humbling us. They have a way of refining us and of bringing us to a point that we do not any longer rely upon our own circumstances or our own talents, but that we are forced to rely on God. We're forced to lean into him. God is performing all things for you and I. And we must listen. When we are led into that cave, we must listen. David remembers, fourthly, his priorities. Verse 9. David said, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. David's priorities in the midst of being in the cave are to sing the praises of God, are to sing of the goodness of God. You know, praise is vital to the cave experience. You can sit in the cave and you can worry yourself sick. And you can feel sorry for yourself and you can look at all of the problems and you can list them alphabetically and you can list them by priority. But your priority as a child of God is to begin to praise God. And as you praise God, there's something magical that takes place in your outlook. As you begin to praise God, God begins to work in your heart. He begins to soften you and begins to mold you and begin to draw your heart closer to Himself. The Church of Jesus Christ today, instead of crying the blues about how hard we have it, needs to be praising God for all that He's doing for us. As hard as the days are that we're living in, folks, these are exciting times. These are days of incredible opportunity to minister to people and to share the Lord Jesus Christ with them. David could have cried. He could have bemoaned his situation. He could have talked about how difficult his life was. But instead, his heart is fixed. His heart is steadfast. He has made the decision that regardless of where I am and regardless of how long I'm here, I'm going to trust God. You know, that's a conscious decision. It is a decision that each of us have to make. In the midst of the cave, am I going to feel sorry for myself or am I going to trust God? Am I going to fix my heart to Him? Am I going to lean into Him? Am I going to stay under the shadow of His wings and sing His praises in the midst of the trials and the storms? The calamities that David was surrounded by at this moment in time passed. David did find himself not in the cave, but in the throne room. And my friends, I believe with all of my heart that the best is yet to come for every one of us as children of God. But we don't have to go through this life thinking like we are suffering for Jesus. Poor, poor me. I believe we can find and see the hand of God at work all around us. That if we are careful and we examine the things that are going on in our lives, we can see that God is at work, that God has a purpose, that He's up to something exciting. But we need to have our hearts fixed. Fixed on the one that does not move, the one that will not be shaken. The one in whom we can have total confidence that God has this and He will bring me through. Father, we thank You for this evening. We thank You for this opportunity to come together and to sing Your praises. Lord, I pray that You would help us as Your people, that we would learn some valuable lessons from David as he sat in the cave. That we would make the determination that we are going to trust You regardless. That we're going to lean into You, we're going to look to You, and we're going to see with excitement and anticipation of what you're going to do to deliver us from the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Father, you are an awesome God. You are loving and compassionate. But Lord, you love us too much to let us live a life of ease all the time. Because the greatest lessons that we learn are learned in the cave. They're learned in the valley. They're learned in the storms of affliction. And so I pray that you may gird up your people. You may encourage them to keep their focus upon you, to remember who their God is, and to stay under the shadow of his wing until these calamities be overpassed. For we pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name, thanking you for what you're going to do. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.